And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Keith Lyman, a great attorney, and of course, Larry Maskow, a great, great financial planner. And now, guess what? Fourth Tuesday of the month from 3 to 4, Standard of Excellence show. And when I say Standard of Excellence, I mean it, starring Mitchell Spean. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am good, and this is such a great show. Why is it such a great show?
Because we haven't done anything for a couple of months because of Christmas.
Yes, that's right. And that's not the only reason. However, it really identifies people of excellence, companies of excellence, concepts of excellence, people that make a difference in the world. And today, we do have someone that makes a difference in the world.
Uh-oh.
Senior Pastor Justin Hagee back. With us, a returning veteran.
A returning veteran after 1 week. How about that, right?
Well, I'll tell you, you made a big hit.
We didn't want to forget.
Yeah, it was excellent, your appearance last week. And, of course, you're the senior pastor of the Shelter in Phoenix, Arizona.
That I am.
But you're a great sports fan.
Oh, yes. Washington Redskins. You got to love it. They were so close this year.
Very close.
I shed a little tear when my boy got hurt on that fourth down play. You know, but it's okay. Next year, there's promise for our team.
Well, we're going to get you on the sports show maybe as early as tomorrow. Who knows? But we're going to ask the question, should he have played? Should the coach? But you don't have to answer now. Let's think about that.
Standard of excellence is all I'll say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So this is going to be great because Justin Hagee really has a heart of excellence.
Oh, well, that's...
There's no question. Mitch, you've known him longer than I have.
Not much longer.
Yeah, but still, you could tell. You know, there's certain people you can meet, right, Mitch?
And, oh, yeah.
And you just know right away how sincere, authentic, and how they put others first in a healthy way to make a difference.
That's very kind of you. Really, honestly.
It's true, though, and people are lucky to know you.
Oh, wow. I don't know what to say to that other than just...
he's blushing, ladies and gentlemen.
I know I am. It's just that I...
That's why he likes the radio better.
Exactly.
We're on TV, too. BreakRadioShow.com. Tune in real quick and see Justin
there
blush.
I am. I'm blushing. No, I'm honored.
This is the blush show, actually. No, but you should be honored. And I know you don't probably think of yourself that way because you have a lot of good work you do and you focus on what you can do for others, not what people think of you.
That is the goal. I mean, when I wake up in the morning and, you know, have my little boy and I bring him off and drop him off at daycare. And, you know, it's just one of the things that, you know, I even share with him even at a super, super early age, you know, that he's different and that he's going to if he stays gentle and even as a little boy, I tried to describe humility to him. But if he can stay that way, then he has a chance to impact a lot of people, too. And that's really, you know, whether it's on the pulpit or whether it's on the golf course or whether it's at the bar, wherever you are, I think you have the ability to impact people for good if that's your intent. And that's something that we talked about last week is that everything that we do has to be on purpose with a purpose. And so that's what we try to focus on.
And it's really not about defining so much humility, describing it, but walking it. And you walk it. He's going to learn from you through demonstration.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I do. That's my aspiration. So, you know, my wife and I, we've tried to take steps even at an early age for that.
That is very good. And, of course, Mitch, today we're going to talk about relationships. This is first and foremost on everyone's mind, it seems like. It seems like everyone's looking for someone when they don't have someone. And they're actually sometimes looking for someone when they even have someone. And it's unfortunate that people are looking more than trying to heal the relationship or improve it. Mitch, you've seen that, right?
Oh, absolutely. But I think more than anything in my mind, you better take care of yourself first, and the rest will just fall into place.
Sure.
Because people will see that who you truly are at that point instead of putting up some sort of barriers or some sort of mask that come out later, which honestly, if you look at relationships in general, that becomes a problem later on.
Well, it does. If you hide who you are, and that happens on dates, right? How many times have you seen people go on dates, and the term best behavior came from that, I'm sure. It's like, what are you hiding from? I mean, eventually, you know, your best behavior not be quite real.
Put your best foot forward, right?
And of thing.
And then you get into it with 2 weeks for them, and you get a little surprise, you know, you're a little shocked there.
No, I've got to say that with my parents, it was a little bit different because my dad proposed after 3 weeks.
Whoa.
Yeah, but your parents had such a great relationship.
I know. They were married 58 years.
Yeah,
cool. But it took her 3 weeks to say yes.
Really? Wow. And they just knew each other 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it was 6 weeks total.
Holy cow.
Oh, 6 weeks. I thought you meant he proposed on day one.
He proposed at 3 weeks, and then 3 weeks later is when she gave an answer.
Yeah, I mean, by traditional standards, you'd say wait, but sometimes things happen. You know, sometimes you just know. Yeah. And evidently that was it. And I knew both, of course, his parents. Sadly, your mom passed away fairly recently, but his dad's still up and running nicely. And great people. I mean, tremendous people. Mitch, you're lucky to have had that type of example.
Dave, you said something a minute ago. Yeah. You said, you know, what's interesting about so many relationships is people get involved in it and they just have the tendency to give up. And, you know, ironically, today I was sitting with a good friend of mine over lunch and just talking with them about this person's relationship. And one of the things that you can see what I wrote down here, it says, do you care anymore?
Yeah.
And I wrote that down and I asked the question to this sister of mine. And I said, hey, listen, do you care about your relationship anymore? Because she wants to fight, but are you fighting for the right reasons? Are you fighting to win? Or are you fighting because, hey, listen, this is something that you believe in, not only this institution of marriage, but is your heart in it? Because if your heart's in it, you're going through the motions. You're going through the motions. Nothing's going to come of it.
Right. So that's an important question. Do you care anymore? And although I guess with some people, it could depend on the day. If they just had a bad experience, another one with their spouse or whoever it is, you know, maybe that emotional hurt or cumulative effect of hurt could say, no, I don't care anymore, just as a self-protective thing. So you really got to go deep, don't you?
You do, and then that is the reason why we talked about what we talked about last week with the idea of the value of premarital. And anybody that comes to me, you know, the idea with our premarital counseling is that we're not there deciding if people are right for one another. They've already decided that. They've already got it in their mind that, hey, they're going to the altar. But the key is to get everything out in the open so that everybody's on the same page, on the same wavelength, and they know where they're going, that they're going in the same direction prior to saying I do.
Yeah. In other words, get those masks off beforehand.
Exactly.
It's funny you said the altar, and what came to mind is an altered state.
Oh.
So I don't know how that came. But I think
actually that's very true, though.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes,
if you think
does.
About there's sort of an infatuation formula here that
big time.
Unfortunately, well, I don't know if it's unfortunate. I sort of think so. That when people meet, they're looking at a movie projected on the other person of their greatest fantasy of what they are hoping that person to be.
Absolutely.
Blindsiding them completely of who that person is.
Huge.
I don't know. I just think there's got to be a different way.
Well, people are getting involved in marriages and in relationships, obviously, with their own needs in mind. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Honestly, I do. But there's got to be something more than that. Again, that's the reason for the premarital counseling, because in that altered state, like you said, there's so many butterfly, awesome feelings of, you know, and my goal is simply, hey, guys, let's kind of cut through that. Let's move past just the feelings and really invest in hardcore where you guys are. You guys right for one another? Do you have enough things that you can be one on, not same? One on. Do you have enough of
foundation,
those things?
The foundation.
Exactly.
You're setting up the foundation, and I think that's a lot of what we wanted to kind of focus on so that, you know, because the foundation is when you get to that standard of excellence in a relationship, whether it be personal or business.
Sure.
Well, that's true, too. That's a good point. You know, I get these thoughts coming in my mind. This should be called men's talk. I don't know. What do you
that's
think?
That's what we'll call it from
that
now
would
on.
Be pretty cool. But what every woman wanted to know, men's talk.
There you go, yeah.
But, you know, I do believe that what you do is incredibly valuable. And, of course, let's go over a little bit what you do so listeners know.
Sure.
Is that the premarital counseling.
Yeah.
That's a big part of what you do.
Big time.
And why don't you describe that? Because I think it's so critical that if people are thinking of getting married, they really need to do this.
Sure.
They really need to.
Yeah. I had one of my really good friends is getting married in the month of February. And yesterday he came to me and said, hey, man, I'm in the wedding. And there's another pastor marrying him. And he said, hey, I was wondering how much I should pay this guy. And how much do you charge? He asked me. And I said, you know, honestly, I've never charged one time ever to marry somebody.
It's almost worth getting married just for that.
There you go, right? There you go. but I've never charged just simply because it's something that I enjoy doing. But
wow.
The one thing that I do require of every person that I do marry is go through premarital counseling with me.
Oh, very, very critical.
And that's not for control's sake. It's just for me, I think,
sure.
as the pastor, as the person that's, if you will, from a very a humble standpoint, put a blessing on the marriage, I want to know the couple enough so that when I'm standing up there, I'm not just going, okay, do you take him? Do you take him? Do you both love each other? Okay, let's go.
And you know their names. A lot of people, they have to look. They go, let's see.
Sure.
And if... You know, if one's named Pat and one's named Robin, sometimes you don't know which is which.
Exactly. That is yet to happen to me. But anyway, I want to make sure that, you know, not only am I involved prior to the marriage, not only am I involved during the actual ceremony, but afterwards, I'll make myself available after, you know, years down the road. And so that is something that the great Jim Cornwall taught me. He said, hey, listen, if someone comes to you and asks you if you would marry them, you absolutely say yes. Because if you say no, they're going to go find somebody else to do it. But if you say yes and you do it, you'll always be the first person they call if they ever have problems. And I've kind of taken that taken that mantra on.
So how does that work? Describe the premarital time frame, you talk about, so people can know what to expect. So you listeners out there, if you're thinking of getting married, you really got to take note of this. It's very, very critical. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, I'm doing a session here today at 4:30 right after this. So really on the first time that they come in, what I'd like to do is I like to go over two main points before we get into the great body of work. So usually we have six to eight sessions that we do together. And they can be in consecutive weeks or every other week, whatever's...
An hour, 2 hours?
Probably about an hour, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever's good for the couple. And the first two questions that I ask is what are you expecting? What are you looking to gain out of this marriage?
Expectations.
Huge. And just for me personally, I think that's what so much falls on in our marriages. Meaning this, that... When I got married to my wife, she knew that one of the expectations is that Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, no matter where we are,
yes,
we are going to watch the Washington Redskins win. Yeah. Okay. and now, of course, that wasn't fulfilled very much. But the thing was, is that's what she agreed to. She knew that in advance, kind of like I knew that she loved country music, which I do not love. And so just that's obviously very, very basis stuff. But we both agreed to that going in. So when we're in the car and she puts on country, I'm not going to make it a big issue because guess what? I agreed to this woman. This is the one I love and this is the one we set. So expectations, and those are some very, very little small expectations. But getting those out in advance always gives the opportunity for me to say, wait a minute, I'm not okay with that. Wait, your expectation is that we go to church every week? I'm not so certain if I want to do that. Wait, your expectation is that I make a certain amount of money? Not so certain. Because there's so many things that a couple in love, that love to date, that are physically attracted to one another, are emotionally connected. That doesn't mean they've talked over values such as, hey, do you expect to work? Hey, how many children do you want?
Very important.
For instance, I was the first of six. My wife was the last of six. She wanted to have a ton of children. I wanted to have one. and we had to come into... Yeah, we had to come into an agreement. But we actually did that prior to marriage.
See, I think that's very important. Now, is everything solvable? Or have you seen a case where there's such, the expectations that you just can't move people to compromise for whatever reason? And what happens if that's the case?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's there are times where there's an impasse. And usually that at that point, I don't try to push that. I don't try to make anything magical happen. I really invite the couple to process, to leave, and write some stuff about that. Take some time separately to see if that's an unmovable. Because within each person, there's some things that are unchangeables. Right.
Yeah.
You can't change the past in a lot of people's history. I mean, you can't do anything about that. So because of that, there's going to be things that they may not see eye to eye. But that's what we've always said. And that's, again, something that's preached. We're not looking for two people to be same, because that's never going to happen. Two different people from two different pasts are never going to be like minded on every single thing. But they can be one.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And you know, what's interesting about that, usually there's some reason why people get maybe stuck on a certain topic that they don't want to negotiate
exactly.
from. And often, in neuro-linguistic programming, I do that, as well as being a CPA, is there's a positive intention, usually some type of protection deal, some type of security issue. If someone says... Well, let's see. Let's just pick a topic. Maybe, I don't want to work.
Yeah.
And let's say it's the wife.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be either one. But,
sure, totally.
And the husband, you know, says, no, we need two incomes. Now, the question is what does that do for her not working? In other words, what's the positive intention behind
sure.
the behavior of not working?
Sure.
And it's called chunking up in neuro-linguistic programming. So you say, you know, what does that do for you by not working? Well, I won't have any pressure. Now,
sure.
usually you're looking for a positive. But if you say, well, if you didn't have pressure, what would you have instead?
Sure.
Well, I might feel comfortable and confident. So it could be a confidence issue. So if you go underneath it.
Absolutely.
And you look at the confidence or the fact maybe stress is an issue and stress is connected to working for this person.
Yeah.
If you solve those issues behind it, and all of a sudden the person gets confident and you work with her in this case, guess what? They'll say, well, it works not so bad.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you get stuck on the topic,
yeah,
that could be a mistake.
Totally.
But if you go behind it and underneath it and have compassion about it.
Huge. And again, the whole point is this. I have yet to sit with a couple that's been married for however many years that are coming and having issues that don't have expectation problems, because
yeah.
many of them did not go through the process of premarital and have unsaid expectations. And unsaid expectations are just, it's just a disaster.
Oh, huge.
It's just a disaster. And so that's, you know, it's not.
Like Uncle Fester.
There we go. Right.
It's like a war just ready to be, you know.
Exactly. Because one person's stewing on something that they've never
yeah.
even articulated. And then that other person's not understanding, then you get the Cold War and the standoff. And so, that's the very first thing. Why are you walking into this, and what are you expecting out of it? And once we get through that, we're on our way. And then you know, there's a couple other things before we get to those five foundations.
Well, I think this is really good. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's explore expectations. And a couple questions I'm going to ask is there a limit of expectations, or is everything fair game? Everything, and I mean everything. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Justin Hagee, pastor for The Shelter in Arizona. And, of course, this is a Standard of Excellence show starring Mitchell Spean. We'll be right back.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm.
ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the Standard of Excellence show starring Mitchell Spean. And, of course, this is the fourth Tuesday every month we have the Standard of Excellence show.
Oh, yes.
With Mitchell Spean and special guest Justin Hege, who is the pastor for the shelter in Arizona. Where is the shelter?
Cave Creek and Greenway Road. There's,
wow.
There's Greenway Parkway, and then there's Greenway Road. We're on Greenway Road.
And every Sunday at 10:30, did
every
you say?
Sunday at 10 a.m.
10
we're there, and we are we're doing our best to honor the Lord, and that's what we're doing.
Excellent. Yeah. And you really have a lot to offer. We're talking about relationships, and one of the questions I wanted to get into,
sure,
I have you answer, is what is the key to expectations? And then we'll go specific.
Sure.
What are the three or four major expectations? But what's the key to expectations?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, as I was saying, there's two things that I like to go over on that first day. And one is expectation, kind of a subplot, if you will, to that is the idea of the benefit of the doubt. And so one of the things I preach right off the bat with every couple is do you have the ability with the person that you love, that you confess to love, do you have the ability to take a step in their shoes, meaning on a day-to-day basis, not just with their work and their obviously there's issues that are, but how this person, if I could take for a moment and get outside of my way, my ideals, and say, how is this right here, this whatever we're talking about, how is she feeling about this? And I think that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes there's a lot of subjection. Sometimes there's some confusion in it. But I will say this. If you honestly and gently do that, you've got a lot better chance to at least see a different perspective. And you got a lot better chance of handling any conflict in a positive manner because you've stepped into their shoes.
Well, that makes sense to be able to take the other position. And it's valuable information.
Big time.
And
so you've got some exercises that you use to help them do that?
Yeah, here and there. We do some homework after the first week, a couple written things that we like to write out. And, you know, hey, would you once a day take a moment out rather than just saying, I love you, say, I wonder how she's doing, and try to figure out what he or she is doing at that moment and empathize with that. And so that always really opens up an awesome, awesome box of, you know, that we can go off on, me and the couples, because there's so much with that. There's so much there's so many different issues in stepping into one another's shoes, you know, because when you are really doing that and you're going after that with a full intent to honor and love that other person, sometimes you stop and you put down what you would say is right and you go, wait a minute, this is where he or she is at.
Yeah.
And that, and that's huge. That's huge. And that's huge for every expectation. Why was this person, I remember when my wife and I met, you know, one of the things that was interesting is that she had never met, you know, or dated somebody that was in ministry. And when I was in when I was 17, I knew that that was my calling. I knew that that was my purpose in life. And so when we met, and I was 22 years old, and we met in a college town in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we spent our days on the beach and throwing the football around and hanging out. And it was just, everything was so awesome. My purpose never left. I knew what I was going to be doing. And there came a point in time where she had to realize, hey, with him being in ministry, that's what that this is going to equate to in life. Because there's some things that that meant for her that she'd have to adapt to.
Right.
One of the things is that she'd have to know that there's just some times where I'm going to be with other people. There's going to be some times where I'm not bringing home $90,000, $100,000 a year. You know what I mean? So it, it when I and when I say that, going back to that giving the benefit of the doubt or stepping into one another's shoes, my wife is so awesome at that because she knows there's some days where she knows what I've gone through. She knows what some of the things that I've been through. And she knows, hey, this is the reason why he may react to this. There's, this is the reason why he is acting this way. If I, you know, if there's some kind of complication, this is what, this is how he's viewing it from what he's gone through today. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I only have one question. Does your wife have a much older sister?
She does, actually.
Now we're talking, Mitch.
There you go.
Oh,
there
I mean.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So. Here's the three expectations. Well, here's three expectations,
cool.
And you could tell, I think two are big. One may not be.
Sure.
But I think money, yeah, expectations is big. I think the physical part of a relationship expectation,
huge,
is big.
Huge.
Opposite sex friends. I hear that a lot. I don't know how big it is. It's big for some.
Yeah.
Would that be a category of maybe big or a category?
Well, opposite sex friends is I mean, boy, what a Pandora's box that
is. Yeah,
it
is. It's very interesting. Oh. But let's get rocking and rolling on this because our listeners are just sitting at their seats right now, driving on the freeway. Some of them are stopping, just waiting.
I hope so.
What are they?
We want them to stop so they don't get into accidents.
Yeah, sure. What is Justin going to say about?
Because I'm the authority on all of this, by the
yes.
way. All you listeners, I'm the authority.
I'm going to toss my two cents in, and Mitch will too. But money, let's start with money, then we'll go to physical, then opposite
sex. Notice
he's friends.
Starting low. When sure. he starts with money and 2 cents.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm a CPA.
I mean,
the money expectation. What have you seen?
I have seen everything with that, and it really, you know, that's one of the core five foundations that we talk about is someone's view of money, because the truth is that most every single, you know, relationship has two people that have been brought up differently. You've got a saver and you got a spender. You've got somebody that had a full ride to college, and then you have somebody that went and worked three jobs working through college. You know, there's different priorities in that. And so the expectation on that, again, and as I've said multiple times even today, is that you're one and that you come to an agreement. Because so many times if he's looking for his wife, when I say he, just, you know, anybody looking for his wife to be at home and be a mother of the children, and that's, you know, hey, this is the traditional role, such and such, but she's got aspirations to go and be in the corporate world or do whatever, that again has to be talked about. That again has to be out in front, because I'm telling you, 3 years down the road into marriage, after the first baby's born, and then all of a sudden she gets the itch because it's always been something that she never talked about, you got issues then.
Yeah.
That's when I have people coming in. Hey, listen, this is what I've always wanted. And he's going, I didn't know that. See, because the goal of that premarital and getting those out is once it's out there, and obviously, Dave, there's going to be change in a
sure.
person's life from the time they get married until the time, you know, 20 years down. There's going to be change.
So that was one of my questions, was the follow-up issues. You know, you've got this core value of finance, and you've set parameters and things change. when's it a good time to go back and revisit those expectations again?
Sure. And that's something that we talked on with Dr. Sharon last week. And one of the things that we had said with those five foundations is that we're constantly critiquing and or monitoring them. Because, again, I went through a short sale of my home this year.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it was one of the harder things that I've done in a while just because of what it did for my wife. It was our first house that we bought. We bought at the top. And everything kind of just – we started a church. And so we've got a lot of different financial things that we've – you know, that we kind of fell into, if you will. And you know, we were young. But, man, did that – that was so hurt. That was so hard for my wife. And so when you say – the follow-up question of when do you go back, personally for me, and this sounds tiring and maybe a little bit labor-intensive, every single day. Every single day I'm looking at those types of – and that I know that sounds almost wow, but we really are looking at those every single day.
And the couple or you and your wife can discuss that, but when would the – they're not going to call you every day to say let's discuss these things.
Sure.
So getting that additional assistance to maintain that those core values.
Huge.
That's what I was talking about. More than discussing with each other.
Yeah.
Because as things come up, I agree, you need to talk about those on a regular basis.
Sure.
But there are times that they need assistance. And so when would they follow up again with you?
Really, anytime. I mean, that's one of the things I've wanted to make myself available as much as possible to anybody. And sometimes I even think that's kind of funny to say, like, as you know, that I have every answer, because I surely don't have every answer, but I believe in some of these core foundational principles that, again, once they're in agreement, we can stick to, because there is so much power in agreement, right? If two people are joined hands and locked hands, there's a lot more power in that bond and that union than if two people are going solo mission by themselves.
Especially with a third party, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're committing not just to, you know, your partner, but to third party. And I think that does make as a credible third party. So I think that makes a big difference. But I mean, and maybe we should do a show just on money at some time, at some point, because there's differences in how people save. And you brought that up, how people spend, why people spend. There's underlying issues control issues, et cetera. Earnings capability. That's big. Investments,
totally,
and identity issue. If you identify with money as your identity as a person,
big problem. Yeah, my grandfather, he purchased a pharmacy in rural North Carolina back in 1946. He's still alive, and he's still going to the pharmacy every single day, even though he can barely go over there, and trying to push pills around. And my dad always said to me, "I'll never be like your grandfather. He only sees work as his only value." Now, he's a great, gentle, awesome man. But
that's his identity. That absolutely
is his identity. So
and
those
that
are,
controls so much, doesn't
and
it?
And that's key. That's key for a wife or a husband to know in advance.
Separate checking accounts, joint checking accounts. I mean, we could have a whole topic just on this, and it's probably worth it at some point, because I know the listeners can relate to this, although I think people are really anxious to hear about the physical thing, because is another huge source, I believe, with men and women on physical expectations. How do you handle it? What does it mean?
Well,
go ahead. I'm staying out of this one.
Men versus women, their expectations, you know, the way they go into it, it's got to be different.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear this one.
Boy, oh boy. I better tread lightly here.
No, it's okay.
No, be yourself.
No, yeah. let me say this. I'm not old school, but I believe in the foundational principle that the marriage bed is for marriage.
Yeah.
I recognize the world that we live in, and I understand that many a couple don't save it for there. It's not my job to then evaluate or try to put a stamp of approval or disapproval on that. But I will say that one of the things that I believe that when it gets to our physical aspect and our physical relationship with our spouse, that's just as important as communication. It's a form of communication.
It is a form of communication.
That's just important as how we see money. That's just as important as how you view God. And that's just as important as your family history. All five foundations are very important and equally important. But sex causes issues because there's so much Because it's been so hyped up now. I mean, in our world today, I mean, what sex sells, right? We hear that. I mean, look at any commercial, we were watching Fox last night, and I just looked at my wife and said, wow, this is just amazing how everything is kind of centered around something, and so that's another topic.
I think it's an addiction, actually.
It really is, and it's grown
in that case,
and it's out of proportion. It really is, but in that, I know that so many people walk in into marriage with the thought of this is what I think is gonna be.
They're gonna believe something,
sure.
So what do you hear out there, and how do you solve it if it's way out of proportion? And I'm talking about, I guess I'm talking about, now I'm blushing.
You're matching your shirt very well.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is. No, it's brown. It's not red.
I didn't say it was the same color. I just said it's matched.
Okay, but I mean, some of the issues probably related to being, you know, the physical part of a couple, of marriage, et cetera, and with the premarital stuff, is probably, frequency.
Sure.
I would say, and probably how affectionate someone is. I guess substance of style. I don't want to make fun of that. Know what I'm saying?
It's definitely a quality and quantity thing.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's a better way to say it. Why didn't I say that?
It's definitely a quality and quantity
thing. I've been watching Fox, too.
There you go. And we try to focus on that men and women are wired differently. You've heard, everything from, a man's turned on right by his visual, a woman's turned on by what the man can do during the day. That's not to discredit the physical aspects of it, but there's all types of things that you can read. But I like to stay, not basic, but again, basic in principle for them both to buy into, and that is both quality and quantity. And again, going back to initially what I said, stepping into one another's shoes. If that principle is applied to a physical aspect of a marriage, you're going to have a great sexual relationship, in my opinion. If it becomes a self-motivated thing, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. It can get quickly out of hand, in my opinion. And so, if I've had a long day and my wife is amped up or whatever you want to call it, and that's her expectation for the night, but it's just been, I've got a headache. Again, do you have the ability to step into my shoes? Do you have the ability to see how I'm seeing things right now? And again, I just can't stress enough giving me the benefit of the doubt, because a lack of desire or her lack of desire doesn't necessarily mean I don't love you. I don't want to communicate with you. I don't want to participate in what you're looking at right now. It just means give me the benefit of the doubt that because I love you, because I honor you, because you're my wife, that this may not be the right time. So do my wife and I commit to a certain amount of time? Do we commit to I don't like to put parameters around that. I like to preach oneness on it. And I like to preach being sensitive to the other person. And if it's about me all the time, then it's going to be terrible for her.
Now, there might be some listeners out right now saying, okay, that makes sense, benefit of the doubt. And I agree with you. I would step in the other person's shoes. However, there might be some listeners, maybe it doesn't matter, men or women, that can relate, like, okay, I do give the benefit of the doubt. But however, if there's a pattern of I have a headache, you know, for 31 days in a row, times 5 years, there's a bigger underlying issue.
Sure.
So how do you handle that?
Well, that right there, I guess the key is handle it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The key is handle it, because what I see and what I've seen over the years is when there has been a break in that in the physical realm of any relationship, that causes the most insecurities, that causes the most the biggest gaps. And so what you said, Dave, is how do you handle it? First, handle it.
Yeah.
First, sit down, find a time when the kids are in bed.
In other words, address it.
Address it.
Don't
first
cover
acknowledge it.
Well, and go to, I would say, someone like yourself, Justin, to help handle it. Sometimes these issues are difficult just among the couples. Let's get a third party involved.
Absolutely.
And really solve it.
Absolutely. And solve it with the idea, again, of walk into that, that my way might not be the only way.
The benefit of the doubt deal.
That's right.
I like that a lot. Now, there's other issues. I suspect compensation for lack of love. So let's say the husband, and I'm not picking on one side or the other, but I'm just giving
sure
examples.
Sure you are, Dave. Come on.
Okay, maybe.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, those male
all
people.
Right, there you go.
Okay, so, but you know what I'm saying is that maybe, you know, they're climbing up the corporate ladder. Let's say it could be a man or a woman. In this case, it's a man. And they're working 12, 15 hours a day. And one of their high values is to evolve, and money becomes a, you know, an earning potential identity issue. And they're not around. And the wife feels neglected.
Sure.
That's a problem, too. And these are so do you have a time-sensitive expectation checklist of some sort where you look at it like, okay, the next 3 years, there's certain expectations. Now, just imagine when, you know, you're president of a company or you've got three kids now. How will expectations change? How do you handle it?
Sure.
They're time phased in.
Sure.
Because your expectations now may be different 3 years from now, 10 years from now. How far out do you go?
My wife said something pretty neat the other day. I'm going to try to say this as good as she said it. She said, there are certain unchangeables and constants within constant change. And so, again, back to the principle of one of the things that we would commit to, and I'm just using my wife and I as an example, is we're going to talk. We're going to talk. So before that I take that job as the president of the company, we're going to talk.
Oh, I got you.
We're going, you know what I mean?
And how expectations could affect this decision.
Absolutely. What happens, I believe, and you know, just from what I've seen, is that so much goes unsaid and so much goes assumed. Well, I'm just,
right.
She's going to go along with it. Well, he'll go along with that. If I take this position, he'll go along with it. No. Because the minute that assumption's been made, you have no idea. Right.
Yeah.
So if we are constantly communicating and we put a premium on that, man, you've got so much of a better chance. Because, Dave, what I feel like you said is how would you do that? There is no magic cure.
Yeah. It's communication.
There is no magic pill that you can say, hey, if you apply this exact principle. But if you communicate,
totally,
you got a better
shot. That could be the magic right there. Yeah. Good communication. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will ask Justin Hagee, who is the pastor of The Shelter in Arizona, The Shelter Church, about opposite sex friends. I want to know that. I think it's interesting. I'll be surprised. I may not be surprised. Mitch, you're looking curious right now. I think we will really find out some interesting information to help a lot of people. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Standard of Excellence show starring Mitchell Spean. And Mitchell, we do have the epitome of the Standard of Excellence in our guest today.
Unbelievable.
Justin Heggie.
I'm showered by this.
No, it's true. Pastor of the Shelter Church. I mean, great practical advice. And I just love this stuff. And as promised, the third expectation for the show today is opposite sex friends, yes or no? I hear it everywhere. And you want my take or your take?
I would love to hear your take.
Okay, and then we'll ask Mitch's take too. I think initially, if you have confidence in yourself and you know yourself and you truly trust yourself and trust your spouse and you have great communication, possibly it could be okay unless it starts taking away time that you both should be spending together.
Sure.
But then, on the other hand, I think there's some potential traps there. And if the couple is not really together within themselves and they start using it as a veiled threat, ooh.
Dangerous.
Bad. Mitch?
I agree.
All right. Let's get right down to Justin.
You know, this is such a dangerous, dangerous topic. And I will say that there is no question that it needs to be unique between each couple. You know, when we got engaged, she knew that part of what I would be doing on a weekly, everyday basis is sitting with people of the opposite, with women, attractive. It doesn't matter. People and we have always had just neither one of us really have a jealous bone in our body. I know I'm going home with her every night. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. And I have a wonderful wife, but that's what we set up. Then I have a lot of friends that it just doesn't work that way. They don't want their spouse to be alone with another person. And so I think it has to be very individual. The one thing I will say though with it is that, let me say it this way. The most dangerous threat to this is when a man and a woman are together working on a similar goal. And I think that I have seen that be probably the most corrosive in the seed of any dishonesty or problem in a marriage is when they have that when they have a common goal, when they're spending every day, when they're spending time on accomplishing something together, because all of a sudden you form, I always say this to the church, you can have a relationship with somebody that's a good person that can be ungodly because simply they're not they're not the right person that you should be spending your time with. They can be a great person, and you can be hooked up and connected with that person, but if you're not, if it's not in the center of God's will in that way, and when I say that in the center of God's will, if it's not what God's designing at that time, you better get out of it quick, because any loose ends can bring you down or can put destructive forces within your marriage.
And I think that probably happens quite a bit, unfortunately, and maybe we did hit on the three major issues, because...
How do you identify it, though? I mean, it kind of just happens. So.
Well, yeah, I think
it sneaks up on you really quick. And so for me, I take inventory, right?
Oh.
And not only do I take inventory, if I can't tell my wife who I was with and how long I was with, then I got to tell you right then and there, that's unholy. That's ungodly.
That makes sense.
So the minute that I have to have any shade of gray, any bit of dishonesty, so maybe that would be my answer. The minute you can't say to your wife who you're with or your husband who you're with is the minute you know it's wrong.
And if but you cut it in half.
If there's any shred of dishonesty or not integrity, then you're in the wrong, because that means you're entertaining feelings that you're entertaining feelings that you're not really being honest about with her.
Very. Hey, next question, Mitch. That was good. He missed his calling, right? He should have been a psychologist. Well, maybe not.
I'm doing just fine with what I've got here.
Oh, yeah, good
Radio
point.
Host, CPA.
Yeah, you know. Very, very true. This is big. I think this helps a lot of people, and there's always underlying issues, it would seem to me. If you have the need to spend more time with someone else, regardless of a common goal or not, you got to look back, and if you give the benefit of the doubt, how would you feel if your spouse did that to you? It'd feel...
Yeah.
Probably devastating, potentially,
tough.
Right?
Tough, and especially if you have that trust relationship in advance, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. Boy, relationships are tough, and the divorce rate is just so high. Maybe this is what all of our callings are doing, the standard of excellence, to make a difference in relationships.
And I had a business partner a while back who called partnerships a sexless marriage.
Wow.
You know, you've got... Because you got two people working together all the time, but it's all business.
Yeah. Do you do that too? Do you handle with business partners and other relationships?
Somewhat, yeah.
Because there's common threads there.
I believe the same principles apply. I believe everything is a relationship.
It really is.
You know, everything is communication. And so, that's what we try to stay focused on and stick to these principles.
Wow, this was the fastest hour on radio in the history of radio. Justin Hagee, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Oh,
so
cool. This is really very valuable information, making a difference. How do people get in touch with you? They need to get to know you.
Yeah, they can get in touch with me just by going to the website, www.theshelteraz.com. They can come to Sunday morning church or Thursday night Bible study. We'd love that. I've got a phone number, 480-466-6950. I don't know why I just gave that out, but there it is.
Give it out again, though.
480-466-6950. I'd love to talk to anybody. I'd love to talk with anybody about... just whatever they got going on.
I mean, people, you could share their joy. You can, if
experience life together.
Whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It makes sense. This is incredible. And I definitely going to talk to you about getting on the sports show. I could see your passion is beyond just helping people.
Oh, yeah.
Sports, especially RG3 and the Washington Redskins. Quick pick. Which brother's going to win, John or Jim?
We've got 49ers 24, Baltimore Ravens 19.
Okay, I would agree. I think that's a smart pick. You definitely qualify for the sports show. Nice, educated
Take
pick.
The points. The points.
No doubt. And Mitchell, I will talk to you later. We'll have another show next month, of course.
Next week also.
Next week. And a big hockey show, Real Hockey Talk, tomorrow from 2 to 3. Talking about the Coyotes, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Coming in tomorrow. Get out there, jobbing.com arena. And much more ahead this week. We'll see you tomorrow.